We present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday.
April 1945, the Third Reich's 13th hour. Into the blazing rubble of Berlin parachutes a unit of Allied commandos. Their mission, to kidnap Hitler. We present the 13th hour.
Berlin, Saturday, April 21st, 12:03 a.m.
Granville, right behind you, sir. There's a spill of brick rubble directly ahead. I'm going to make for it and take stock. Should offer a pretty clear view of the Chancellery.
Want me to come with you, sir?
Yes. Oh, Granville.
Yes.
Signal the rest of the men to follow. We can launch our assault from there if all goes well.
Yes, sir.
Right. I'll go first. Have the others come up quickly.
Made it, Major, sir. The men have taken cover.
Good man, Granville. Now, let's see what's ahead of us.
London, 12:03 a.m.
Looks like your famous Big Ben can't keep time tonight. 3 minutes late.
Hmm?
Oh, sorry, I forgot. Big Ben's the bell that tolls the hours, not the clock.
What?
The name. Oh, never mind.
Edgy, Holly.
Pardon?
I said, are you edgy? Oh, forget it.
Nervous? Me? Not at all. Still, one can't help being a little anxious. Aren't you?
I? Certainly not. Not the type.
And what makes you think I am?
A certain preoccupation with time, should I say.
What?
You keep looking at your watch and now this checking up to see whether our London clocks are managing to keep it together.
Oh, I... Oh, what the heck? You're as determined for this thing to succeed as I am.
What do you expect?
Nothing but that.
Of course, it could be that you want it to succeed because it'll mean personal success. And it has to come now, hasn't it, Holly?
What are you driving at?
The clock's moving. Everybody keeps saying the war will be over in a matter of weeks. And you don't want that to happen before you've achieved some special glory for yourself.
Now, look here, if you think I'm prepared to listen to that kind of bull...
Oh, come on, man. At least be honest. Otherwise, why did you try muscling in on this raid act?
Okay. So I did see the whole thing as a chance of getting a piece of the glamour before the whole business was over. Yeah. What's wrong with that? Aren't you after the same thing?
Not really. It's immaterial to me.
Ah, rubbish.
Oh, I want this operation to go off well. No more than that. I want it to be a resounding success. After all, what could be better than snatching Hitler out of the hands of the Russians without their even knowing it?
You Britishers certainly have a cheek. So much for friendly allies.
Well, this raid wouldn't have been so important if it hadn't been for you Americans switching tactics.
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, come off it, man. That business with Lieutenant General William Simpson just before the Russians made their move on the 16th.
Oh, that.
Heard about it from friends. Evidently, he was as sore as hell. Had just seized the bridgehead across the Elbe, 50 miles from Berlin. April 15th, right? Well, evidently he sent an urgent request to Supreme Headquarters asking for the green light to close the gap and storm Berlin before the Russians could get there.
Yeah, I remember reading the report. According to him, the road was wide open.
So it was. Only isolated pockets of resistance in his way. A golden opportunity. His troops could have been in the outskirts of the city in 24 hours. Only the green light didn't come.
Yeah, I know. General Omar Bradley delivered the report personally. Simpson was to stop at the Elbe and go no further. Berlin was out. The command came from Ike himself.
There you are. Eisenhower decided that Berlin was not a military target, but only a political one, on which he was unwilling to waste lives. As far as he's concerned, the Russians can have it.
Yeah, perhaps Ike's right.
Well, it's maddened everyone here no end, I can tell you. The PM was quite upset. That's why he's so keen on this raid.
He's aware of the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
About Fegelein? Everything?
Not about Fegelein, no. I couldn't let too much get bandied about. Security reasons, old fellow.
Rot, you're trying to cut me out. Well, there's no way you can do that. When everything comes out, Fegelein will be mentioned by the rest, and you won't be able to cover that up, Mumford.
My dear Holly, I don't know what you mean.
No, no. Well, Fegelein will be the clincher. They'll know that's my part of this little jaunt, and Bascom will be proof positive. He'll be able to furnish all the evidence.
If he doesn't get wiped out. Another drink, old boy?
I'll see to it myself. Thank you.
Yes, Eisenhower's decision, I'm afraid, caused quite a stink, particularly as it was based on a mere rumor.
Rumor? What rumor?
That there's supposed to be a great German national redoubt, an unapproachable, impregnable mountain citadel, supposedly situated in the icy heights of the Austrian Alps. Hitler and his thugs, with the remnants of the German army, are evidently supposed to retire there to fight to the last.
Mightn't be just a rumor.
Oh, I can see Eisenhower's point. He's probably worried that if the Germans are allowed to slip away to the south to enclose themselves in a natural towering fortress, the war may be prolonged indefinitely and additional oceans of Allied blood be shed.
It's the kind of thing that makes one respect Ike. A concern for human life.
Oh, come on, Holly. You don't honestly believe that.
I do.
But there are no nice guys in this mess. You can forget that.
Yeah, I suppose that could be applied to us.
Of course. Probably already has. And will be again. That we are only interested in our own skins and their greater glory.
Nothing wrong with a little ambition. Particularly if it can be used in the service of one's country.
How quaint. Patriotism.
I hope that you're not anything else patriotic.
Surely you don't doubt it.
I'm real certain. Anyway, Ike's convinced he's right. He even sent a cable to the Soviet premier.
Stalin himself?
Yeah. Evidently informed the Russians of the Anglo-American intentions and asked that their offensive, which was originally scheduled for May, be coordinated to meet the Americans in the area of Dresden, to ensure the division of Dresden.
But the Russians have begun their offensive 4 days ago.
Precisely. They acknowledged the message, but they didn't believe a word of it. They probably felt that he was deliberately lying to keep them off balance so that our troops could get to Berlin before them, and to Hitler.
So much for the Russians.
Well, it has to be. Grateful, in a way, I suppose, that Ike is in France worrying about his national redoubt.
Why?
Without Ike being convinced that what he believes is more than a rumor, this great opportunity might never have dropped into our laps so close to the end.
You are greedy and presumptuous. We've the Russians to worry about. They could be pretty close to grabbing Hitler.
Berlin. 12:08 a.m.
Be quiet, man.
Sorry, sir. Well, so far so good. But we're losing time. Let's just see what the next patch of ground has to cover is like there.
I'd say there's about 50 yards of the chancellery.
And there are two entrances from what I can make out. Both pretty impressive, too.
Yeah, the nearer one's our best bet, I should think, sir. The other is quite a way down towards Wilhelmstrasse.
Yes. It'll have to be the first one. The edges are badly clogged from end to end with uneven mounds of brick.
Probably gushed from the string of collapsed houses across from the chancellery.
Signal to the men that we're going to head for the closer entrance.
Right, sir.
And keep alert for signs of sentries. I'm not expecting much of a guard. That air raid by our boys probably kept them pretty distracted. And they won't be expecting trouble to happen in this area.
Still, it'll be wise to be prepared.
No doubt about that.
Right, Granville. Let's get moving.
London, 12:08 a.m.
The assault team should be in the chancellery by now. In fact, Fagerlein may even be introducing our boys to Herr Hitler now.
Doubt it. It's still a little early for that.
Damn, have you finished all the ice?
Oh, I don't think so. It's probably melted.
One can't help mulling over the idea that with that murdering tramp in our bag, we may bring the war to an abrupt end.
Yeah, I've been toying with the pleasant prospects of that myself.
And we might even have some of the others. Goebbels, Bormann, even the Führer's little lady, perhaps? Mm.
Of course, there are all those stories about new secret weapons. I've got some of my OSS boys poking around in the Hohenzollern area of southern Germany. The Nazis have supposedly shipped all their top physicists there to put together some kind of super new disintegration bomb.
Do you believe they have?
No. No more than I believe that nonsense about our U.S. physicists working on some new secret bomb to use against the Japanese. I mean, it's like that report about the Germans having developed, of all damn things, a new gun that can shoot around corners.
No. The Germans are on the ropes. Nothing can save them now.
Berlin, 12:10 a.m.
No sign of anyone.
We can use these square pillars to hide behind till we make those doors.
That water cart we passed at the bottom of the steps. That must mean the chancellery plumbing has probably been knocked out during one of the air raids.
Must be the only damage it suffered. Incredible. There's barely a mark on the building. Even that damn eagle in stone above the door hasn't budged. It's still clutching its swastika. Yet the houses opposite are nothing but uninhabitable ruins.
Wouldn't be too sure that they're uninhabitable, Randall.
What do you mean?
According to statistics smuggled out by one of our contacts, there are more than 1.5 million people homeless in the city. So they've taken to moving into the cellars of the ruined houses like those opposite.
And we'd better be careful then if we have to make a dash for it. We don't want to stir up a whole lot of screaming women.
Well, it's all clear at the moment, so we can continue moving forward.
Hang on. Someone at the top of the steps. Near the second column. Down.
Granville.
Yeah. Don't worry about me. I'm safe. So are the rest of the boys. They're tucked up nicely and quietly.
I'm going to stick my head out and see what it's about.
Well, there's a soft red pinpoint of light. Of course.
What?
It's a cigarette. Someone inhaling back in the shadows of the entryway. Look. Seems to linger at what would be about mouth level and then fades as it drops to a waist-high position.
How many?
Can't tell yet. We'll have to get closer. Get three of the men to take the chancellery side of the street. The other three on the opposite side, along the row of houses. I'll take the middle.
don't start anything until we're sure we've got them all spotted. Understand?
Right.
Be with you in a mo. I'll keep a watch on our man here.
London, 12:10 a.m.
Personally, my bet's on Bascom. Oh, yeah, Major Longland's a good man, no doubt of that, but Bascom, nah, he's a real good American kid. He's probably forced Fagerline to lead them to the Chancellery. Your men will have cut the telephone wires, and then a team of them will move into the garden out back to feed the sleeping gas into the underground ventilation system.
You're pretty sure that it's all going according to plan?
It's a good plan. 10 minutes, the scientific guy said.
What?
10 minutes to put every German in the Führer bunker to sleep. Then Bascom, bless his all-American heart, will make Fagerlein guide them right down into the underground passages to the deep vault where Hitler and all his pansy generals will be sprawled over chairs and tables, unconscious and ripe for plucking.
Just now you said Fagerlein will have already taken them to the Führer.
No, reckon I was being a little over-optimistic. Mm. There probably have been one or two slight snags. To be expected, naturally, in a situation like this. So they're possibly a little behind schedule. About making good time, nevertheless. Wouldn't doubt that for a moment.
And what a sight.
I think we should switch to something soft to drink.
What? Nonsense. Just think, Mumford. It'd be like shopping in a supermarket. Bascom will be able to poke around at his leisure and pick up as many prisoners as he wants.
What about Longland? What's he doing all this time? Knitting?
Well, Bascom and Longland. Give the British some due, I always say.
Thank you.
Maybe they could bag them all. Anyone unlucky enough to be sucking around the Führer on his birthday.
It'll take an hour or so to transport the captives to the hovel.
Well, that won't matter. Gas is supposed to keep them asleep for 2 or 3 hours. And Bascom and the others can shove them into the rubber boats, spend another couple of hours navigating quietly down the western fringes of Berlin and out into open country.
You're really certain of nothing going wrong, aren't you?
They'll arrive at the designated airlift sector just about daybreak, in time to beam a radio signal to the two planes circling above the clouds.
Holly, old man, you've begun to do the impossible. You've begun to astonish me.
What? Really? Have I? Oh, well, there we are.
Yes, there we are.
Only the top prisoners will be flown out, of course. Maybe with Bascom to ride along a shotgun.
Oh?
Well, the rest could walk out with Longland and the other guys in the reading team.
How nice.
It's only a day's march, more or less, to the Allied lines on the Elbe. And the Germans will be far too busy coping with confusion and the Russians to come chasing after them.
Ah, yes. Now, what about our friends, the Russians?
The Zillow Heights on the outskirts of Berlin. 12:10 a.m.
Colonel Klemenko?
I am Klemenko, yes.
Captain Alexei Volkov. You sent for me?
Yes, of course. You're the one who speaks fluent German.
My German is workable.
Good. I assume you've not had much time for food.
No.
Well, then share my meal with me. As you can see, it is nothing remarkable. A fly-ridden chicken, some stale bread, and cheese that has a green rash on the one side. But it is something to stop the stomach from making as much noise as the guns outside.
Come, sit down. No, thank you.
Oh, suit yourself. I have heard a lot about you. But if you're not going to eat, at least sit down.
I would rather see the prisoner first.
What prisoner? Here, have some cognac.
French.
We found it under the floorboards.
There.
I see you do not refuse the cognac.
No, it is cold. Thank you. But the prisoner?
There isn't one.
You have no prisoner for me? I assumed I was brought here to question someone.
You're not a combat soldier. Rather an intelligence officer assigned to front-line duties, I know. Your job has been to study captured German documents and to question prisoners of war.
Yes, Colonel Klemenko, that is correct. It is tedious work, often with negative results.
But you take it seriously.
Naturally. I worked hard to sharpen my command of the German language, and I pride myself on long having been a good judge of people and their motives.
As I say, I have heard much about you. You are able to tell with almost 100% effectiveness whether a man is answering the questions truthfully or only saying what he thinks his questioners want to hear. No, you have a good record of success, and field commandos who know of it trust your information.
And you yourself?
I know when I can use a man. No cognac?
No, thank you, Colonel. I have not finished this yet.
Ordinary prisoners are no longer your primary duty. As of today, you have a new assignment.
Sir?
Comrade Volkov, we have come to the heart of Germany for one purpose. To smash the government of the Nazis for all time. We will soon enter the barricaded streets of Berlin. Perhaps even before the week is out. Our priority mission is to capture the major war criminals and process them for immediate removal to Russia.
Of course, sir. But what has that to do with me?
A great deal. Our number one objective, of course, is Adolf Hitler. He is to be located and taken prisoner, or his body found and identified. If alive, he must be removed to the Soviet Union for punishment. If dead, his body must be taken from the city and his remains placed under Soviet guard.
Sir?
We cannot have his bones treated as sacred relics and passed from generation to generation. Nor do we intend to share him with the Western Allies. You understand?
Yes, sir. Of course, sir.
You are drinking.
Sir.
You, Comrade Volkov, have been chosen for special duty. You are to head one of the special teams that have been set up on the orders of Marshal Zhukov himself. And from now on, you will locate and apprehend the criminal Hitler. I take it you accept the assignment.
With the deepest pleasure.
Berlin, the Chancellery, 12:14 a.m.
Who's that? Who's that? I will shoot if you do not answer. Come forward. Into the light. I cannot see you.
There's no need to shoot.
What are you doing there? This street is forbidden without a pass.
I have a pass.
Show it to me. Why do you not come forward into the light for me to see it?
You mustn't be so eager, my friend. As you can see, I'm preparing to take it out for you.
Your insignia. They're not German. You are British!
You have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world. Best Sellers is brought to you every Monday to Friday on Springbok Radio at 9 p.m.
John Lee's dramatic novel, The 13th Hour, is adapted for radio by John Cavigia and produced by Andre Wortmann.